le soir en descendant sur la rue Saint-Laurent, sans être malin comme des gandins, Jean-Luc le petit crottin, et le vont deux par deux, se promenant cœur joyeux, nous faisons de l'œil et bon accueil, du boulevard c'est l'orgueil, et bien tranquillement, elles vont de pas charmants, légères et câlines, l'été sur leur mousseline, c'est la joie du boulevard, elles nous rendent ricolards, nous faisons bonne mine et nous les suivons sans retard. Qu'ils sont gentils, ces frères minois, on les aborde en tapinois, en leur jetant un regard sournois, en leur jetant un regard sournois. On les prend par le bras, en marchant à petits pas, sur le trottoir, il faut nous voir, se balader ensemble pour fêter, car Montréal, ville idéale, c'est si charmant qu'on se promène tout le temps. Et bras dessous, bras dessous, nous parlons comme des fous, la bouche en cœur est plein d'ardeur, nous voguons au petit bonheur, et dans les restaurants, nous entrons le cœur content, sans hésiter nous amuser, en même temps se régaler. Après elles disent, veux-tu nous amener au vu? Je leur réponds, mes petites chattes, votre désir me flatte, je veux après souper, vous amener visiter, pour dilater la rate, toutes les salles de vues animées. Qu'ils sont gentils, ces frères minois, on les aborde en tapinois, en leur jetant un regard sournois, en leur jetant un regard sournois. On les prend par le bras, en marchant à petits pas, sur le trottoir, il faut nous voir, se balader ensemble pour fêter, car Montréal, ville idéale, c'est si charmant qu'on se promène tout le temps. Sur le boulevard un soir, le cœur rempli d'espoir, à eux tendrons, j'ai dit pardon, et tu n'y n'es tout ni non. La petite me répondit, je te le dirai hardi, et beaux galants peut-être quand découleront tes dents. Malgré mon embarras, je la suivis pas à pas, jusqu'à sa petite chambrette, rue Sainte-Élisabeth, puis je lui dis bonsoir, sans rancune au revoir, je reviendrai ma poulette, car j'adore tes jolis yeux noirs. 2 mois après, mes bons amis, l'hymen nous avait réunis, j'étais devenu, devenu le mari, j'étais devenu, devenu le mari, Denis était trop beau Dieu, qui me rendait bien heureux. Faites comme moi, le cœur plein d'émoi, en descendant sur la rue Saint-Laurent. Sans trop chercher, vous trouverez des cœurs charmants qui se promènent tout le temps.
You are at 902 Saint-Laurent, Saint-Antoine Street. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazarino Bulete. Before the urbanization of the area, the present-day intersection of Saint-Laurent Boulevard and Saint-Antoine Street, called Craig Street till 1976, was located at the foot of the old fortifications along which meandered the Saint-Martin River, or the Little River as it was known. In the early 19th century, following the demolition of the city walls, Craig Street was laid out and the river was channeled. The latter, having become a veritable open sewer, was eventually buried in an underground tunnel. The suburb of Saint-Laurent, which developed north of Craig Street, witnessed some tragic upheavals, including the Great Fire of 1852, which ravaged part of the city and left many homeless. Following that, several large stores opened along Craig Street. In the late 19th century, these disappeared gradually as the retail sector shifted to the new downtown along St. Catherine Street. Closer to our time, in the early 1970s more specifically, the noisy, malodorous trench of the Ville-Marie autoroute ruptured the urban fabric and isolated Old Montreal from the rest of the city. Having survived the humiliations wreaked by urban development, the old building at the corner of Saint-Laurent and Saint-Antoine, long abandoned and recently renovated in a respectful fashion, is once again useful and provides a quality shelter to the homeless. You are at 1195 Saint-Laurent, the Monument National. Original text by Pierre Antil, translation by Nazarino Bulete. Upon its inauguration by the Société Saint-Jean-Baptiste on March 25, 1893, the Monument National was considered a living symbol of the dynamic French-Canadian fact on Saint-Laurent Boulevard and in the entertainment district. A few months later, once the interior was finally ready, the building comprised a 1,500-seat hall, immense for its day, and cutting-edge electrical and acoustical technology. Carried away by their unbridled enthusiasm, the directors of the Société Saint-Jean-Baptiste even proposed creating an opera boulevard in front of the Monument National to link the main to Saint-Denis Street, thus replacing the Saint-Laurent Market already in that location. The march of time, however, would prove otherwise. As of 1897, the Monument National became home to Yiddish theater and Chinese opera in Montreal. Soon thereafter, people from all around flocked to the Monument to witness the turn of the century's nascent art form, cinema. You are at 3495 Saint-Laurent on top of Barron Hill. Original text by Bernard Valli, translation by Nazarino Bulete. It is difficult to imagine the intersection of Saint-Laurent and Sherbrooke Streets in the early 19th century, when the area was still rural. Where lies today a rather sad service station, had stood since 1818 the opulent villa of arms merchant Thomas Torrance, which later became the property of brewer John Molson and his family till 1910. Transformed into a garage in the 1930s, the villa was later destroyed. From the vantage point of this Côte à Baron, Barron Hill, which dominated the old city and its outskirts, many rich Montrealers flaunted their sumptuous begardened villas. The Notman Villa is one of the last remaining of these remarkable buildings. Commissioned in 1844 by Judge William Collis Meredith, the residence became the property of well-known Montreal photographer William Notman in 1876. In 1891, it was bought by George Drummond to house St. Margaret's Home for the Incurable. More recently, it was saved by the efforts of neighborhood residents opposed to its devaluation by a mediocre real estate development project. In the early 20th century, the construction of the Charité-File Synagogue on Milton Street marked the beginning of the Jewish community's migration from the old neighborhoods toward the northern outskirts and of the manufacturing plants, the workshops, and the shops that were sprouting up along Saint-Laurent, officially a boulevard since 1905. In the 1950s, the synagogue became a Yiddish theater, the Melody Theater. Then a night spot, the Chat Noir, owned by singer-songwriter Claude Léveillé. And finally, from the 1960s to the early 1990s, a repertory cinema house along with the Élysée and the Cinéma Festival. After being home to Business, the boulevard's first trendy bar, the Reitman's plant became the headquarters of multimedia pioneer Softimage.
You are at 3590 Saint-Laurent de Jardin Guilbeault. Original text by Bernard Vallée. Translation by Nazareno Ulette.
Joseph-Edouard Guilbeault's first undertaking was a business and a garden of rare plants where one could walk about free of charge and take part in festivities featuring lights, fireworks, military bands, and acrobats. The first Garden of Delights lasted from 1831 to 1838. Between 1852 and 1862, the businessman created a new botanical garden and zoo, the Jardin Botanique et Zoologique Guilbeault, in the midst of the large estates and villas of well-to-do Montrealers below present-day Sherbrooke Street between Bleury and Saint-Urbain. There, one could find wild gardens, theater and circus shows, concerts, lights, fireworks, a gymnasium, animal and rare plant collections, refreshments, the annual exhibitions of the Montreal Horticultural Society, air balloon rides, and more. The last incarnation of the Jardin Guilbeault was from 1862 to 1869 in the quadrilateral bounded by Saint-Laurent, Saint-Urbain, Guilbeault, and Bague, today's Prince Arthur Street. Advertisements from that time depict structures designed to house a menagerie and a museum, while others were made for skating, dancing, and circus acts. These advertisements also show a large pavilion capable of welcoming 6,000 persons. The Jardin Guilbeault thus lost its distinction as a landscape garden to follow the so-called Barnum formula, even playing host to the American circuses passing through town. After the earlier Gardens of Delights, this last incarnation of the Guilbeault Gardens heralded the beginning of the age of amusement parks, and its popular attractions proved hugely successful with Montrealers right up to the time of Belmont Park and La Ronde. You are at 3619 Saint-Laurent, Néligan. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazareno Bulette. Just a stone's throw from Saint-Laurent Street, which was not yet a boulevard, Émile Néligan produced his exceptional body of poetry during the 4 years of his all-too-brief literary career. Born in 1879 in the house of his Irish grandparents on de la Gauchetière Street, he moved in 1886 with his family to 112, present-day 3686 Laval Avenue, near St. Louis Square, and then in 1892 to 260, today's 3958 of the same avenue, near Napoleon Street. There, Émile kept a small room on the second floor, where he wrote prolifically under the worried protective eye of his mother and the aggressive disapproval of his father. Ah, comme la neige enneige. Ma vitre est un jardin de givre. Ah, comme la neige a neigé. Qu'est-ce que le spasme de vivre? Ah, la douleur que j'ai, que j'ai. Oh, how the snow has snowed. My window is a garden of frost. Oh, how the snow has snowed. What is this spasm of life to the pain I have, I have? At 5:43, now 3639 and 41 Saint-Laurent Street, lived Arthur de Bussière, a sign painter but also a poet, a friend of Néligan's and, like him, a member of a circle of young avant-garde poets, the École littéraire de Montréal. In Arthur's room, Émile frequently found refuge from the anger of his father, who was frustrated at his son's straying from the career path set out for him at the post office. Before being placed in an asylum at the age of 20 for the rest of his life, Émile drifted with his friend through the city's streets and alleys, port and taverns, church parvises and cemetery from Laval Avenue to the Main. You are at 3653 Saint-Laurent, the lost diamond of Baxter Block. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazareno Bulette. James Baxter was a businessman of Irish descent. He moved to Montreal in 1877, where he set up his offices at 120 Saint-François-Xavier in the heart of that era's business district. Nicknamed Diamond Jim because of his diamond brokerage interests, he also managed one of Canada's largest privately held banks, the Ville-Marie. His interest in real estate development led him to hire the young architect Théodore Daou to design what would be Baxter Block. Centrally located along a burgeoning Saint-Laurent street, the initial project called for 28 stores as well as a 2,500-seat theater that would never be built. The multi-use neo-Roman building, with its 14 three-story sections, looked like a prestigious building and is considered one of the first shopping centers. It was also a manufacturing center and office building. The man who gave the Maine one of its most beautiful commercial buildings and who was known for his philanthropy was nonetheless found guilty of the 1900 embezzlement of $40,000 from his bank. He was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment and died soon after his release at the age of 66. You are at 3662 Saint-Laurent, Saint-Laurent Road. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazarino Bulette. Fearing attack from inland, the French authorities began in 1717 the erection of fortifications all around the existing city, which was basically Old Montreal as we know it today. The defense structure, designed by engineer Chausse-Gros de Léry, covered a perimeter of 3,500 meters and was about 10 meters tall. The enclosure wall had but a single gate on its north face, which was more vulnerable to attack, known as the Grande Porte Saint-Laurent, completed in 1732. The gate provided access to a narrow route laid out in 1717 and called the Saint-Laurent Road, which ran toward the north and the island of Montreal's agricultural land. This small route, surrounded at that time by cultivated land and green fields, was to evolve over the next three centuries into today's Saint-Laurent Boulevard. You are at 3725 Saint-Laurent, where the city's east meets west. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazarino Bulette. In 1792, Montreal was almost wholly contained within fortifications dating back to the French regime, a containment which impeded the city's future growth. The walls were soon to be demolished so as to foster population growth and urban expansion. That same year, the British authorities decided to extend Montreal's city limits 2 kilometers farther north to present-day Duluth Street. At the same time, they decreed that Saint-Laurent Road, the future Maine, become the administrative dividing line between the city's east and west. So began in the outskirts at the foot of Mount Royal, an urbanization process which contributed to the settlement 100 years later of the Plateau Mont-Royal and of the Mile End neighborhood. In 1996, with an eye toward preserving these important heritage neighborhoods, Parks Canada declared Saint-Laurent Boulevard a National Historic Site. You are at 3826 Saint-Laurent, Saint-Laurent Boulevard in the 20th century. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazarino Bulette. In October 1905, the city's elected officials gave the Maine the official rubric of Boulevard, a clear indication of the strategic role the artery played in Montreal life back then. That same year, Montreal street addresses were renumbered to accommodate the recent division of east and west, of which Saint-Laurent Boulevard was the dividing line. Tramways had been traveling the boulevard from north to south since the late 19th century, and traffic had increasingly intensified on this culturally rich route whose vocation was at once commercial and residential. In the mid-50s, to ease traffic on the main, the tramways were replaced by buses, and city officials decided to make the boulevard a one-way running north. You are at 3861 Saint-Laurent. Anti-Semitism. Original text by Pierre Antille, translation by Nazarino Bulette. A major influx of Jews immigrating from Russia arrived in Montreal between 1900 and 1914. Often poor and speaking only Yiddish, they at first settled near the port, then moved up along Saint-Laurent Boulevard to the Plateau Mont-Royal, where they formed the majority of the population between the two world wars. A proliferation of Jewish businesses, synagogues, and cultural spaces occurred in this neighborhood, a development which got the attention and the ire of the most conservative and insular elements of French-Canadian society. Buy from our own campaigns were organized, and the 30s saw the publication of certain newspapers that were very hostile to the Jewish presence in Quebec. Aside from these pressure groups, however, other Francophones discovered, quite to the contrary, the richness of the Jewish contribution to Quebec society, among them Yves Thériault, who in 1954 published a novel, Aaron, whose characters were Jewish Montrealers. You are at 3863 Saint-Laurent, Warsaw. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazarino Bulette. The business vocation of Saint-Laurent Boulevard was to become more evident in the first part of the 20th century. It does not boast large, prestigious stores such as does St. Catherine Street, but rather offers a wide diversity of wholesale and retail stores which reflect the ethnic origins of the surrounding population. While many European immigrants, particularly East European Jews, found gainful employment in the garment industry, others earned their living as storekeepers, and many started out as peddlers. With a cart or a horse-pulled sled in the winter, these traveling merchants sold their wares, be they fruit, vegetables, fish, or fowl, on the street or door-to-door. The Warsaw grocery store was founded in 1935 by a Polish Jew, one Florkiewicz, who had started his business as a traveling vegetable salesman. Like other immigrants wishing to improve their lot, he opened with his wife a store on the main and named it after his native country's capital, Warsaw. A typo on the store sign was to remain permanently in place. Warsaw's bargain fruit market, at first a small fruit and vegetable boutique, bloomed into a huge grocery store, later adding tableware and carpet departments. While no longer part of the main's landscape, Warsaw rides again in the current incarnation as a decoration store near Atwater Market. You are at 3886 Saint-Laurent, the heart of Jewish life between the two wars. Original text by Pierre Antille, translation by Nazarino Bulette. Between the two world wars, the stretch of the main between Prince Arthur and Rachel Streets constituted the heart of Jewish life in Montreal. One could find there a succession of businesses, restaurants, and places of worship that all observed the Jewish holidays, the Yiddish language, and the Eastern European traditions. Today, significant traces of this bygone era remain, albeit diminished since the Jewish population moved to the Snowdown neighborhood and later to the municipalities of Côte-Saint-Luc and Hampstead. Most notably on the Main, one can see the Burson Grave Monuments Factory, founded in 1922, and Schwartz Deli, opened in 1929. Born in this neighborhood in 1931, author Mordecai Richler described the area with great affection and bite in his novels The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz, Saint-Urbain's Horseman, and The Street. You are at 3899 Saint-Laurent, the heart of Jewish life between the two wars. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Buletti. Between the two world wars, the stretch of the Main between Prince Arthur and Rachel Streets constituted the heart of Jewish life in Montreal. One could find there a succession of businesses, restaurants, and places of worship that all observed the Jewish holidays, the Yiddish language, and the Eastern European traditions. Today, significant traces of this bygone era remain, albeit diminished since the Jewish population moved to the Snowdown neighborhood and later to the municipalities of Côte-Saint-Luc and Hampstead. Most notably on the Main, one can see the Burson Grave Monuments Factory, founded in 1922, and Schwartz Deli, opened in 1929. Born in this neighborhood in 1931, author Mordecai Richler described the area with great affection and bite in his novels The Apprenticeship of Duddy Kravitz, Saint-Urbain's Horseman, and The Street. You are at 3936 Saint-Laurent, the Schubert Baths, and the Beth Shloim Synagogue. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Buletti. At the intersection of the Main and Bag Street, passerby are invited to enter a public bathhouse built in 1931 by municipal councillor Joseph Schubert and bearing his name. Renovated in 2000, the building is a throwback to a time when many of Saint-Laurent Boulevard's residents had neither running water nor free access to sport facilities. First elected to City Hall in 1924, Schubert, a Romanian Jew, was for some 15 years the spokesman for the garment industry's unions and needle trade workers. A socialist by conviction and an admirer of Karl Marx, he espoused within the Jewish community an ideology championing the welfare of the masses. Passerby, continuing on to Clark Street, will see at the intersection the neighborhood's last synagogue still in use, the Beth Shloim Synagogue, or House of Solomon. Modeled in the early 20s after an existing building, the synagogue embodies the piety and religious devotion of the East European Jews who settled on this particular stretch of the Main in the early 1910s. You are at 3981 Saint-Laurent, the garment industry. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Buletti. Saint-Laurent Boulevard has for almost 60 years been the center of Canada's garment industry, as bear witness today several of the city's landmark buildings, such as the Balfour at the corner of Prince Arthur, the Cooper near Bag Street, and the Weinberg at the corner of Duluth. In this once thriving industry, a great many owners and workers were of Jewish descendants, although workers of all nationalities belonged to it, including in the 30s a large number of French-Canadian women. The industry gave rise to labor movements and to large-scale social conflicts, such as the 1937's Women's Garment Workers' Strike, in which prominent figures from the political left, such as Leah Roback, participated. Today, these large buildings, long abandoned by seamstresses and tailors, have become a refuge for artists and multimedia firms currently thriving on the Main. You are at 4040 Saint-Laurent, Duluth Avenue and Fletcher's Field. Original text by Susan D. Bronson. Translation by Nazzarino Buletti. At the northwest corner of Duluth Avenue and Saint-Laurent Boulevard is the Berman Building, one of Montreal's earliest reinforced concrete high-rises and one of the few with reinforced concrete exterior walls. Constructed in 1912 by Jewish businessman Solomon Weinberg to house the needlework trade, a growing industry on the Main at the time, it now accommodates commercial and residential lofts. Duluth Avenue was originally known as Saint-Jean-Baptiste Street, as it was just north of the border between the city of Montreal and the suburb of Saint-Jean-Baptiste, which was annexed by Montreal in 1886. It defines the southern limit of Fletcher's Field, the eastern section of which is now known as Jeanne-Mance Park in honor of the foundress of the first Hôtel-Dieu Hospital in Old Montreal in the 17th century. Indeed, Fletcher's Field, named after the farmer of landowner William Hall, was also part of the property of the Sœurs Hospitalières de Saint-Joseph, who inaugurated their new Hôtel-Dieu Hospital just south of the park in 1859-1860. The property was acquired by the City of Montreal as part of Mount Royal Park around 1870, and Park Avenue, formerly Bleury Street, divided it in two in 1880. In the late 19th century, its southern end, north of Duluth Avenue, was part of Montreal's first golf course, and its northern section, south of Mount Royal Avenue, had a race course that was used for activities related to the agricultural and industrial exhibition at the Mile End Exhibition Grounds north of Mount Royal Avenue until 1897. It wasn't until the second decade of the 20th century that Fletcher's Field was redesigned and landscaped to serve as a park, and since then it has continued its long-lasting role as a popular venue for a diversity of sports, celebrations, and leisure activities. You are at 4062 Saint-Laurent, the Kinneder, Adler, and Montreal's Yiddish Press. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Buletti. In 1907, Hirsch Wolofsky, a young Polish immigrant arrived in the old city just 7 years earlier, decided to launch a Yiddish-language daily newspaper, the Kinneder Adler, Canadian Eagle. Although at the time Canada annually welcomed thousands of Jews fleeing the anti-Semitic climate of Imperial Russia, the founding of a Yiddish press organ nonetheless represented a sizable challenge both financially and for the community. Naturally, the paper's offices were located on Saint-Laurent Boulevard near Ontario Street. In spite of the obstacles faced, the Kinneder Adler achieved great success and soon relocated to a building erected solely to accommodate it, at 4075 Saint-Laurent, just north of Duluth Street. For more than 50 years, Wolofsky's daily put its finger on the pulse of the dreams, hopes, and struggles of Montreal's Yiddish-speaking Jews, so much so that it became a cultural touchstone for their community. You are at 4131 Saint-Laurent, the Garment Boulevard. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Buletti. From the modest storefronts established in the early 20th century to today's trendy boutiques which offer the most daring fashions, the Maine has consistently played a pivotal role in the design, manufacture, and distribution of prêt-à-porter in Canada. More than any other area of Montreal, Saint-Laurent Boulevard has brought together in one cluster garment artisans in all the diversity of functions and trades which the industry involves. Once home to factories producing on a large scale, the Maine today is rather a fascinating showcase of contemporary fashion in all its complexity and glamour, which does not in the least prevent those businesses established several decades ago to keep offering their services to consumers and trade workers alike. You are at 4190 A, Saint-Laurent, the French-Canadian influence. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Bulette. The dawn of the tramway era made the artery more accessible to populations living farther away from the main, which in turn meant greater access to jobs and business opportunities in the area, particularly in the retail sector. Although generally not residing in large numbers in the neighborhoods immediately adjacent to Saint-Laurent Boulevard, Montreal's French Canadians were, throughout the 20th century, among the most assiduous and visible of clientels on the Maine, particularly in establishments offering credit and cheaper prices than their counterparts downtown along St. Catherine Street. The artery thus resounded, regardless of the era, to the cries and curses of Francophones, who found it to be a warmer, more welcoming place than the Anglo-British neighborhoods and better suited to their overall tastes. Also, on the Lower Main, many French-Canadian artists made a name and reputation for themselves, such as La Bolduc, Juliette Béliveau, Olivier Guimond, and Gracien Gélina. You are at 4190 B, Saint-Laurent, the Maine's country markets. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Bulette. The Maine has always been an important meeting place of rural and urban life, most notably during that not-so-distant period when the artery was the main transportation link between the more agricultural north of the island and Montreal's port. In the late 19th century and early 20th century, the municipality erected several marketplaces along Saint-Laurent Boulevard. These markets served as ports of entry for fresh produce from the surrounding countryside. Among them were the Saint-Laurent Market, previously located in front of the Monument National, the Saint-Jean-Baptiste Market, erected in 1908 at the corner of Rachel Street and replaced by today's Parc des Amériques, and Jean Talon Market, which still exists. You are at 4244 Saint-Laurent, Portuguese immigration. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazzarino Bulette. Constituting the first great wave of immigration of the post-war period, the Portuguese began arriving in Canada in 1953 to fill the country's need for agricultural and industrial labor. Originating for the most part from the Açores Archipelago, located in the middle of the Atlantic, these immigrants settled from their very early days in Montreal on the edge of Saint-Laurent Boulevard, where they replaced the Jewish populations that were moving westward in the city. It did not take long for the Portuguese to open stores, restaurants, and social-cultural organizations in the 50s and 60s. These gave the Maine a new color and enriched its heritage. In 1975, in recognition of their exceptional contribution to the revitalization and enhancement of the Plateau Mont-Royal, the Ordre des Architectes bestowed upon the Portuguese community a collective award. You are at 4247 Saint-Laurent, Rachel Street and Georges-Étienne Cartier Monument. Original text by Susan D. Bronson, translation by Nazarino Bulette. Rachel Street, a major east-west artery with a well-used bicycle path, connects Jeanne-Mance Park and Mount Royal Park to the west with La Fontaine Park, and then continues on to the Botanical Garden and Maisonneuve Park to the east. The initial section of the street, just east of Saint-Laurent Boulevard, was constructed in 1834 when Jean-Marie Cadieu subdivided his large property. It was named after his daughter, and soon afterwards became a main street for the suburb of Saint-Jean-Baptiste, annexed by the city of Montreal in 1886. At the northeast corner of Saint-Laurent was the Jean-Baptiste Market, today the Parc des Amériques. To the east was the Church of Saint-Jean-Baptiste, whose origins date back to the 1870s. To the west, at 4170 Saint-Urbain Street, is the former Chevrachas Synagogue, one of several reminders of the large Jewish population in the neighborhood during the first two-thirds of the 20th century. Since 1972, it has housed the Portuguese Association of Canada. With the Portuguese Church and the Santa Cruz Community Center across the street, this is the symbolic heart of Montreal's Portuguese community, which is still very present in the area. Rachel Street ends at Jeanne-Mance Park, but its axis continues through the park to the Georges-Étienne Cartier Monument and beyond to the cross atop Mount Royal. The monument, designed by George Hill in 1914 to honor one of Canada's Fathers of Confederation, was inaugurated in 1919. Crowned by an angel, it is without question one of Montreal's most remarkable works of public art. It has been undergoing restoration since 2005. Every Sunday throughout the summer, the site around the monument is brought to life with African dancing to the beat of tam-tam drums. You are at 4276 Saint-Laurent, Jewish Unionists. Original text by Catherine Brown, translation by Nazarino Bulette. In the early 20th century, the majority of workers in Saint-Laurent Boulevard's manufacturing workshops were Jewish immigrants, many of whom had left their country of origin to flee political oppression. Politicized and organized, these workers created labor unions that were to be the most combative of Montreal's unions and which enlisted French-Canadian female workers when the latter's numbers swelled during the 30s. Throughout the 30s, the garment industry was rocked by serious labor unrest. The International Ladies Garment Workers Union, whose offices are located at 3575 Saint-Laurent Boulevard, was led by talented organizers, including Rose Pisota and Leah Roback, thanks to whom the strike of 1937 ended in a resounding victory. Other Jewish militants played a political role. Fred Rose, an electrician by training, was elected to Parliament by the people in the riding of Cartier in 1943, thus becoming the only communist member of Parliament in Canada's history. His political career came to a sudden end when he was arrested and convicted of spying in 1945. Having served his six-year sentence, he was a pariah upon his release and returned to his native Warsaw, where he died in 1983. You are at 4355 Saint-Laurent, Marianne Saint-Laurent. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazarino Bulette. In 1834, the heirs of notary Jean-Marie Cadieu de Courville subdivided his land and traced the streets which were to bear the names of members of the Cadieu family. Rachel and Henriette Cadieu de Courville, daughters of the notary and wives of the very patriotic brothers Chemilly and Chevalier de Lorimier, Napoléon, son of Rachel, deceased as an infant like many babies born in that period, Marguerite Roy, wife of Cadieux, Marie-Anne Roy, Margaret's sister and wife of Hippolyte Cherrier, Prince Arthur and de Bullion streets have previously been called, respectively, de Cadieux and de Courville, and Hôtel de Ville and Colonial Avenues once bore the respective names of Pantaléon and Hippolyte, the notary's two sons. Henriette Street eventually disappeared because of the more rapid expansion of Marie-Anne Street. Beyond the toll booth that marked the north city limit of Montreal till 1886, present-day Duluth Street, lay the village of Saint-Jean-Baptiste, whose heart and lungs were the Market Square, today's Parc des Amériques, and Vallière Square, now Parc du Portugal. Saint-Laurent Street, which crossed the entire island of Montreal from the old city to the Rivière des Prairies, sometimes called the Back River, saw the passage of wagonfuls of cut stone, cartloads of produce, and stagecoach loads of travelers stopping at the hotels alongside the farmhouses and tradesmen workshops at the foot of the large elms. The arrival of the tramway disrupted this bucolic tranquility, and the industrious, immigrant, and festive main extended northward, transforming the old villages into neighborhoods teeming with urbanity and the influences of Jewish Central Europe, and later of Portugal, Greece, South America, and the West Indies. You are at 4358 Saint-Laurent, the Maine's Jewish Authors. Original text by Pierre Antil, translation by Nazarino Bulete. Throughout the 20th century, Saint-Laurent Boulevard attracted authors of Jewish origin, starting with the writers of Montreal's Yiddish Literary School, who had immigrated after 1905 from Poland, Russia, Ukraine, and Lithuania. Between the two wars, poets such as Jacob Isaac Siegel, Sholem Stern, Ida Mays and Noah Gottlieb sang the praises of Montreal in Yiddish and described with fondness their neighborhood surrounding the Maine. They were succeeded after 1945 by Jewish authors, this time Montreal-born and writing in English, such as Abraham Moses Klein, Mordecai Richler, and Irving Layton, whose collective works for the most part showcased the landscape of Montreal's Plateau Mont-Royal and its residents. Today, the Parc du Portugal remains a pied-à-terre for the most famous of them all, Leonard Cohen, who penned the song Suzanne, and is an important figure of the international folk music scene. You are at 4404 Saint-Laurent, Mrs. Steinberg's Grocery Store. Original text by Pierre Anctil, translation by Nazarino Bulete. Circumstances led to Ida Steinberg's opening a small grocery store at 4419 Saint-Laurent Boulevard. She had no way of knowing in 1917 that her family business would eventually evolve into the province's leading grocery chain for several decades. The family's heir, Sam Steinberg, put the enterprise on the road to success by introducing in the late 30s Montreal's first modern supermarkets. This was followed by a long series of innovations capped by the construction in all Quebec cities of shopping centers equipped with free parking. At the height of its expansion, the Steinberg chain had nearly 25,000 employees in over 200 big box locations throughout the province, almost all of whom were Francophones. In spite of the family's Jewish origins, Steinberg grocery stores were quick to comply during the 70s with regulations introduced to safeguard the French language, thus ensuring themselves a unique place in the mainstream Quebecois culture. You are at 4475 Saint-Laurent, the Montreal Hunt Club. Original text by Bernard Vallée, translation by Nazzarino Bulete. Back when Mont-Royal Avenue was called the Mile End Road, there lay at the corner of Saint-Laurent Road the first building owned by the famous Montreal Hunt Club, which brought together Montreal's hunting aficionados. The club's kennels and stables were located near the current intersection of Mont-Royal and Delorimy Avenues. The Mile End Road was the confluence of the winding path from the quarries of the Saint-Laurent Road used by the heavy carriages loaded with grey stones extracted from the top of Saint-Louis Hill by workers known as the Pieds Noirs, black feet in reference to their walking barefoot, stone then transported to the construction sites of the old city's nicer buildings. The first of many horse racetracks to sprout up in what is today called the Plateau Mont-Royal was the Mile End Racetrack. It was part of the attractions of the 1878-1896 Exposition Provinciale, whose pavilions spread out between present-day Duluth and Saint-Joseph streets. A fire destroyed this vast area where city dwellers and country people alike congregated to learn of developments in science and modern production techniques in an entertaining forum. In the early 20th century, two more entertainment centers competed for the patronage of Montrealers near the intersection of the Main and Mont Royal Avenue. A movie theater, the Belmont Moving Picture Theater, 1921-1959, gone today, and the Mont Royal Arena, 1920-1937, home to the Montréal Canadien hockey team. Artists hailing from around the globe performed there as well, such as the tenor Caruso, and in the midst of the political turmoil of the Great Depression, the huge edifice often echoed to the sound of the Internationale. Converted to a commercial space, the building was razed by fire in 2000. You are at 5900 Saint-Laurent, the railway line and former Mile End station. Original text by Susan D. Bronson. Translation by Nazzarino Bulete. The railway line that crosses Saint-Laurent Boulevard was constructed in the mid-1870s as part of the Quebec, Montreal, Ottawa, and Occidental rail system connecting Montreal to Saint-Jérôme and beyond. This line, taken over by the Canadian Pacific Railway in the early 1880s, helped to promote agriculture, forestry, and recreation in the Laurentians. It also divided the former town of Saint-Louis into two distinct parts and quickly became a corridor for diverse industrial activities that benefited from easy access to rail transport. The first Mile End station, located on the south side of the tracks near the intersection of Saint-Dominique and Bernard streets, was erected before 1879. Milk from dairy farms up north arrived here and was picked up for delivery throughout the island. A larger station was constructed around 1911, but by the 1950s was used for other purposes and has since been demolished. Nearby, at the northeast corner of Bernard Street and Saint-Laurent Boulevard, was the CPR Hotel, built in the 1890s and demolished in the 1980s. The Pratt Pianos factory and showroom, constructed in 1909-1910, was at the northwest corner of the same intersection. Today, this building houses the Whiskey Café and offices. On the west side of Saint-Laurent Boulevard, south of the tracks, a large storage warehouse was built by the St. Lawrence Warehousing Company in 1924, replacing a smaller warehouse on the same site. North of the railway line, on the east side, is the lumberyard of the company founded in 1872 by Leonidas Villeneuve, mayor of the town of Saint-Louis from 1896 until 1900. The underpass was constructed in 1910 when the population of the area north of the tracks was increasing rapidly to ensure the safety of pedestrians, streetcars, and other vehicles. The overpass, which connects Van Horn Avenue with Rosemont Boulevard, dates to the 1960s when efficient traffic circulation was considered more important than the quality of the urban environment. You are at 6797 Saint-Laurent. Italian Immigration. Original text by Susan D. Bronson. Translation by Nazzarino Buletti. The first two decades of the 20th century witnessed the arrival in Montreal of a large number of Italian immigrants. The city's population of Italian origin increased from about 2,000 in 1901 to over 7,000 in 1911 and doubled to almost 14,000 in 1921. At first, many of these new arrivals were men who came to work, often on a seasonal basis, in the railway and construction industries. Soon, however, growing numbers of families arrived with the intention to stay. While the initial flux of Italian immigrants lived in the area south of St. Catherine Street, between Saint-Laurent Boulevard and Saint-Denis Street, more and more families settled in the new homes near the CPR line in the northern sector of the former suburb of Saint-Louis. In 1910, the Italians constructed their own church in this area. By 1916 and 1918, it was replaced by the much more monumental present-day Church of Madonna della Difesa, designed by Italian artist Guido Nicheri. Ties with the mother country remained strong. The Casa d'Italia at the corner of Jean Talon and La Jeunesse streets was constructed in 1936 to serve as a social center for the community. By this time, there were around 6,000 residents of Italian origin living in the neighborhood now known as Little Italy. During the decades following the Second World War, another wave of Italian immigrants, including many well-educated people interested in strengthening local organizations, arrived in Montreal. The Italian population of Little Italy continued to flourish until the 1960s, when many families of Italian origin moved to new suburbs such as Saint-Léonard. Nevertheless, today this multicultural neighborhood possesses a thriving Italian identity thanks to several landmarks, a wide array of specialty stores offering Italian food and products of all kinds, an abundance of Italian cafes and restaurants, a number of parks named in honor of Italians, and a few remarkable gardens tended by residents of Italian origin. You are at 6875 Saint-Laurent, Jean Talon Market. Original text by Susan D. Bronson. Translation by Nazzarino Buletti. Jean Talon Market, located a few blocks east of Saint-Laurent Boulevard at the end of Shamrock Avenue, was the site of the Shamrock Lacrosse Grounds. The Shamrock Lacrosse Club was founded in 1868 by a group of lacrosse players, mostly of Irish descent. In the 1890s, it moved its home field, located at the corner of St. Catherine Street and Atwater Avenue, to this location near the northern limit of the suburban town of Saint-Louis and the end of the Saint-Laurent streetcar line. Inspired by the First Nation Games Bagatawe and Tewarathon, lacrosse was one of Canada's most popular sports at the time, and as many as 10,000 spectators attended the matches on this field. In 1931, at the height of the Great Depression, the city of Montreal purchased the property and constructed the chalet on the west side. This building, today a bakery, has been used as a social services center, a terminus for bus services between Laval and Montreal, a municipal library, and municipal offices. The Jean Talon Market was inaugurated by Mayor Camillien Houde in 1933 and has since offered farmers from all over Quebec a venue to sell their fruits, vegetables, and other produce. As North America's largest open-air public market and Montreal's most multicultural market, its lively atmosphere and wide array of products attract residents from all over the island and beyond, including gourmet chefs, food experts, and others seeking special ingredients or fresh produce for their culinary pursuits. In 2004 and 2005, the addition of an underground parking lot and new indoor market facilities helped to alleviate traffic problems and accommodate expanding needs.